Good morning. Welcome to Amazing Grace. Grace and peace to you all from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks, Lord. We give thanks for this day. We give thanks that you've never given up on any of us, Father God, and you never will. We praise you and we love you and we thank you for the peace that you give us in our lives. We thank you for the strength and the hope and the joy that comes through all that, Lord. And we love you, Father. And we ask that you bless this time and bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So I love today's text. You know, there's a lot of prayers of Jesus in the New Testament, but today we're going to be talking about some prayers that he prayed for us. Amen. And intercessory prayers, the greatest intercessory prayers. Amen. So that's my sermon title today. The Lord's prayers. Not the Lord's prayer, but the Lord's prayers. Amen. We'll talk about that. If you're a Christian, eternal life does not simply mean that you're going to heaven for eternity. Eternal life means a never dying spirit that has already sprung into life in you. Amen. In other words, eternal life starts right now. Eternal life starts today. Your life that lasts eternally into the next world is the same one that begins right here today. When you die, only your body dies. Okay. Your spirit, your eternal spirit, the essence and the deepest reality of who you are never stops existing. It never stops existing. It does a great disservice to Christian ideas when heaven is simply some abstract place after death where we sit on the clouds and play a harp. Amen? My first picture there. There it is. That's heaven, right? So if I really thought that was heaven, I think I might sign up for the other place. Not, right? Not. But seriously, I mean, forget harps. For me, heaven is a place where there's like drums and guitars and, you know, that's what we're going to be playing on the clouds. Amen. But really, eternal life begins right here on earth, when God's spirit breathes into our spirit. Amen. And, at that moment, we take off on a completely different quality and a different kind of life. It's a whole different life. Amen? Plants are alive, but not the way that cats are. Okay? And cats are alive, but not the way humans are. Right? And humans without Christ are alive, but not the way humans with Christ are. There's different levels of life. When Christ comes into our life, He gives us the best kind of life. Amen? There's different levels, but the best kind is when we have Christ in our lives. And it could be said that the Christ follower is in heaven already. Because we've already began eternal life with Christ. Amen? And it could be said that the person without Christ is in hell already. Because they're living without Christ in their lives. Amen? So life with Christ is heaven, and life without Christ is hell. Sounds about right to me. Amen. I mean, I've lived on both sides, and that's about how it feels, you know. So those things are true, but no matter which side of this world you're on, Christians will inherit everything Christ has been given by God, including the spirits that are alive to God and will spend all eternity with Him, starting right here in this world. Amen. So in our last verse from last week, Jesus said to the disciples, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? You'll have trouble, but I have overcome the world. So after Jesus had said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed today's first verses. Okay? After he said that, that's what he did. Now remember, this was written 40 years after the crucifixion. Okay? And these are not the exact words of Jesus. These are the words that John recorded that he heard Jesus say. Amen? But how amazing is it that we have these words and these accounts of Jesus, right? It's amazing. But think about it. How much more is there recorded in this book that Jesus said and did? Or how much more is there How much more did He do than are recorded in this book? Amen? And how much more did Jesus pray? Some people would say, oh, if I just had a video of Jesus, right? Or if I just had more prayers, you know, if we had some kind of DVD, right, of Jesus, right? If I just had more of His sermons, if I just knew exactly all the things Jesus said. But the truth is, we don't need all that. We got everything we need for our faith and eternal life right here in this Bible. Amen? And we don't need to know everything. We don't need to know everything He did. We don't need to know more. We just need to believe what we have available to us. So the question is, why? Of all the things Jesus said and did, why did He record today's text? Why did He record these prayers? What does this really say about God and Jesus? We need to discern or understand and have faith in what we have. And that's the Word of God. Amen? That's what we need to do. So Jesus says in the first verse, He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son so that Your Son may glorify You. So here we have a model of prayer from one who would seem to us at first to not even need to pray, right? Why does Jesus need to pray, right? But He did pray. Day by day and moment by moment, Jesus prayed. He was always praying, right, in the Bible. And so how else could we or the disciples understand that He was in full communion with God without prayer, right? That's what prayer is, right? Talking to God. And Jesus did just the same. When He was here on earth, He talked to God through prayer as well. And He had constant, unbroken communication with the Father. And we should too, right? And He wants these men to know, I am not impacted by circumstances. I know what's going to happen, and I allow it for God's purpose, no matter how difficult it's going to be for you. We go through many difficulties in this life, and so did Jesus. Amen? But we never know if it's for God's purposes or not. The Bible says God uses all things for His good and the good of those who love Him. What greater example than the cross, right? I was going to save this story for another sermon, but I think it fits perfectly with God using everything for His good purpose. Amen? There's a story where there was a guy, a bowler, a professional bowler, and he was bowling in a tournament. And so he had three games to bowl in this tournament. And the first two games, he bowled a 300 in both games. So perfect first two games, right? He gets to the third game, and he's still bowling strikes. He's bowling strikes and bowling strikes. And he gets down to the last three frames. So he's got three more strikes to go. And he steps up, he bowls one strike, and everybody's cheering and clapping, right? He's getting closer to this 900, perfect 900 game, right? Only 21 people have ever bowled a 900 game ever, okay? So he's getting closer and closer to bowling this game. And then he throws the next ball, and he gets the next strike. So he's got one more strike to go, all right? Now he's sweating, and he's nervous, and he steps up there. And he throws the ball, and before the ball even gets there, everybody's already cheering, right? Like, yeah, you got it, 900, right? He hits the pins, and they go flying everywhere. And the last pin is sitting there, the number 10 pin, and it's wobbling, right? And it stays, it doesn't fall, right? And everybody's just like, the cheering stops, and he's disappointed, and it's the worst day of his life, amen? And so the game's over. He goes home, he bowled an 899, you know, and he's so disappointed. Everybody's like, man, so close. He goes home, and when he gets home, he feels sick. He goes in the restroom, and he throws up, and he goes to sleep. And so a couple months later, he started to have heart problems after that. And a couple months later, he actually had to have some bypass surgery done for his heart. And he was talking to the doctor about this game that he had, right? And the doctor was telling him, he said, you know, He was telling him how it was the worst day of his life because he didn't bowl this 900, right? And the doctor said, well, you know what? If you by these statistics and what we're looking at here on this test, that night with those symptoms that you had, it appears you had a stroke that night. And if you would have bowled that 900, your blood pressure would have went up and you would have died that night. We're almost certain that you would have died if you would have got that 900. So the point is, we never know what God's using in our lives or how God's blessing us. It may look like you know, we're having a bad day or we didn't get what we want. And maybe we didn't get what we want, but we got what we need. Amen. And that's the meaning of the story is God gave him what he needed. Amen. So God uses all things for his good, right? Don't forget that. So these men needed to hear this. They were about to be taken out of their hands. He was, and seemingly out of God's hand, okay? But remember, Jesus said three times in John 10, he said, I lay down my life only to take it up again. So Jesus is in control. Even though he's going to go to the cross and he's going to die on the cross, this is his plan. Amen? This is God's plan. So he's saying this is the will of God and this is the plan of God. Don't be surprised when all these things start to happen. That's why I'm telling you about this right now. And then in the next verse he says, for you granted him, talking about the Son, authority over all people that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. This means that Jesus has conquered death through the power of the cross, and this was God's will granted to his Son. Amen? God's plan. Thanks be to God. Amen? So he literally removed death's ability to terrorize us, and he removed Satan's ability to destroy us by the cross. Amen? He did what man couldn't do through sacrifice, right? What we couldn't do through sacrifice in the Old Testament, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for all the sins of the world. Now let's look at verse 3. Did you ever wonder what eternal life is? Or the definition is? Well, here we go. Okay? Verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now the Greek word for that they may know God, is gnosko, or gnosko, which best translates to this, to personally, intimately, and experientially know someone or something. But most of the time it indicates the knowledge that comes from experiencing something in an intimate or personal way. Okay, so the kind of eternal intimacy with the Lord and the body of Christ that I pray all of us have or will have. Amen? That's the ultimate intimacy, okay? We are not going to be sitting around on clouds playing harps. We're going to be spending eternity with God together in intimacy. There will be no end to time, and there will be no end to receiving God's knowledge. Amen? And it's not going to be boring, right? We can't even fathom how exciting it's going to be. Amen? Next one. Yeah, you're a little behind there, Stevie. Next one. God's time and eternity. Verse 4 and 5. They say, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do, to be completed at the cross. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So this is showing the deity of Christ. Amen? That he was with the Father before the creation of the world. And this shows that he's the Son, and he was sent by God. And so once again, we're talking about the Trinity, right? And then they're going to send the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the Trinity again. So we're taught that our glorifying God is needed as an evidence of our interest in Christ, through whom eternal life is God's free gift. It's God's free gift in our lives. And next slide. That's the Trinity. Amen? Jesus, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 6, Jesus begins to pray for His disciples. He says, these men who have no idea where He is going, these men have no idea where He's going with all this. Okay, He's starting to pray for the disciples. So He says in verse 6, I have revealed You to those whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have obeyed Your word. So Jesus is saying to the Father that I have manifested Your character to them. We can witness to others about God, but only Jesus can manifest it. Amen? We can witness to others about God, but only Jesus can manifest it. Jesus did not just come to tell it on a mountain, right? He came to live it. Amen? He came to live it, manifest it. Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life of God. The gospel accounts of Jesus shows us how God walked, how God talked, and how God loved. That's what Jesus was God on earth. Amen? That's the manifestation of God, the grace of God, and the character of God given to us for us to know through Jesus Christ. The eternal Creator has ultimately revealed Himself by becoming one incredible man, Jesus Christ, who demonstrated the truth about God, that He is gracious and willing to save us from our sins. Thanks be to God for that. Amen? Now that is incredibly great news for all of us, right? Of all possible core realities behind this vast universe in which we find ourselves living, there could hardly be any better news than this. Amen? Next slide. Because after all, isn't it possible that God could be a devil of a being? Someone like the Allah of the Islams? The Muslims, who promise only to reward people who sacrifice themselves in order to kill and destroy another human being? Or isn't it possible that God could be an impersonal principle like the Hindus' karma in Buddhism, right? Exactly. That just simply governs the faith of human beings and is not even able to care about each individual's struggles or fate. Or isn't it possible that the ultimate being could be the God of the agnostic who doesn't even care enough to reveal Himself to man and leaves man in the darkness to flounder and fall and die in a very confusing and evil world? No, 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 and no, right? God was manifested through Jesus Christ so that we may have a relationship with the Father. Amen? A relationship. None of those have a relationship with the Father. Amen? That's my God. My God loves me unconditionally, and He loves all of you unconditionally as well. Amen? Hallelujah. Maranatha. Amen. All right. Maranatha. There it is. All right. That's a good one, huh, Pastor? Look at that. All right. Then Jesus says, they were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have obeyed Your word. But that's not always easy, is it? I'm going to continue to say they, we, and are, okay? Because Jesus is praying for all of us in this text. He's praying for all of us. That's why Jesus prayed for our protection. He knew firsthand that the world is not always in favor of the divine call to Christ. In fact, the world seems to be more in opposition to it than ever before. Amen? In fact, the call to share our wealth with the needy goes against our sin nature of wanting to build our own kingdom, right? Right? If we're not following Christ and living for Christ, we're not thinking about other people or we're thinking about ourselves first, right? God calls us to think of others. Amen? But in order to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we have to empty ourselves of ourselves. I'll repeat that. In order to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we have to empty ourselves of ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can come in and do its work. Amen? Amen. So Jesus is praying that we are protected under God's name because He knows the trials that we're going to face. He knew the trials the disciples were going to face, and He knows the trials that we're going to face. Amen? But in the same prayer, He also asked that we remain in this world. Although we don't belong in this world, we're just visitors in this world, right? We don't belong in this world. And the world a lot of times hates us just like it hated Jesus. Amen? And Jesus still prays that we remain in this world. Even though the world hates us, He still prays that we remain in this world. Now, why does Jesus pray this? Why does He want us to remain in this world? To bring more people to Christ. Amen? Amen. Because we have a mission to pursue, right? We got a mission. The Great Commission, right? In the name of Christ, for the sake of Christ, we have a mission. So let us also remember Christ's promises to His people. Amen? In the world, one of the promises in John 16, which I keep talking about, but I love this verse. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a promise, right? He has overcome the world. The war's already won, right? The next one in Matthew 28 says, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Lord is with us always to the end of the age. So remember, we are Christ's church in a fractured world that God has loved so much. We are never alone. The risen Christ is with us through all trials, through all things, good and bad. Amen? Then Jesus goes on to say in verses 7 and 8, He says, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. This is to show that Jesus is acknowledging their faith and confirming their belief. Our faith and our belief is very important to God. It's very important to God. When God sees faith in us, He is happy. Amen? The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is vital to our salvation. Verse 8 says that I gave them your words. The word transforms us. It's a new life to those who find it. All those that receive Christ's word and believe in Him are now in a covenant relationship to the Father, and we all belong to God when we have that relationship. We must accept these words because they are from God the Father. Amen? Next verse says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. So this is God the Son speaking to God the Father, saying, I am praying for them, not the world. Because the world is a mostly rebellious people that do not believe. Jesus is saying through faith that they have believed your words, Father, and I'm praying for them, not for the world. Morgan wrote, when Jesus said, I do not pray for the world, it was not because He did not care for a lost and fallen world. It was to focus on His own disciples. He was praying for the instrument that He was creating through which He would reach the world. Amen? He was praying that we would be His disciples and that we would reach the world, the Great Commission. Amen? Just because He did not pray for the world didn't mean He didn't have any concern for the world. It was still about the world. Amen? He prayed for the disciples so that they could reach the world. The salvation of the world depended on Christ's work through the disciples that the Father had given Him. That's what He's saying in this verse. And the next verse says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. In short, we bring glory to God when He manifests Himself in our lives. Whether it's in times of triumph or trial, or success or suffering, we bring glory to God when we have Him in our lives. Amen? Everything we do in our lives should give glory to God. This is what it means to be a believer. To be born again, to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, is to have Him glorified in our lives. Jesus does not want to just dwell in our lives. He wants to be glorified in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So how awesome is that? The Holy Spirit, which lives in us, comes from the Lord to transform us into God's glory. What a beautiful thing to be in step with and empowered by the Trinity of God, right? Amen? Many of us spent many years running in the opposite direction of Christ. But thanks be to God that many of us have been transformed. That we do live to bring glory to God today. Amen? That just like the disciples, God can use us, all of us, to reach the world. Now this mission work can be done in so many ways, so many different ways. You don't have to be a pastor or even a leader in a church. There are so many opportunities today to serve in this fallen world. There's outreach. There's worship. There's prayer. Maybe even jail ministry. Huh? God can use us in so many ways. And may all these ways bring glory to God and give peace to this fallen world. Amen? Verse 11 says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So the Lord's going to be leaving them very soon, and He knows they're going to face many threats. But the number one threat is going to be division. And this is because Satan knows that if he can divide us, he can weaken us. Which is very true and apparent today. Amen? There's so much division in the world. Not only in our country, but in our church and in our homes. Satan is constantly at work trying to divide us. Constantly. Whether it's in politics, church, marriages, any relationship, Satan tempts us with lies every day. He will try his best to divide and conquer because he knows that when we're in unity, we have strength. Amen? And he doesn't want that. Especially in the church. Satan has always tried to divide the church. He uses many tactics, but the best defense is God's Word, His unchanging Word. That's our defense. Amen? When we start to believe His lies and compromise on God's Word, we lose the defense and we give Him a foothold. Amen? We don't compromise. No fluff, right? If you want God's protection in your life, stay true to His Word and no fluff. Amen? Be united in Christ because He holds the future. In verse 12, next slide. My wife hates this picture. I do too. Last verse says, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Now, rather than the one doomed to destruction, the original Greek says the son of perdition, which of course is this guy right here, right? Judas. Amen? Judas was not an exception to the rule. Judas was not a mistake. Our Lord did not fail to keep Judas. He was the son of perdition, which means he was never saved. He was destined to evil and destruction. So he was never really lost out of the keeping of God's hand. His destruction was a fulfillment of his character and destiny, as well as a fulfillment of prophecy. Now the scriptures that would be fulfilled by the betrayal of Judas were especially these scriptures here, and I'm going to read them to you. They kind of tell the... This is prophecy, amen? Psalms 41:9 says, even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. And in Psalms 109:8 says, may his days be few, and may another take his place of leadership. talking about Judas again. Amen? Acts 1:20 says, "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.'" All talking about Judas. Amen? All prophecy. Prophecies will be fulfilled. The words of the Bible will stand true, and in the end, God will get all the glory. So let's thank the Lord for all of His prayers that bring us salvation and will sustain us through eternity. Amen? Billy Graham wrote, "The gospel is relevant to every individual in every culture. Beneath all the cultural, ethnic, and social, economic, and political differences that separate us, the deepest needs and hurts and fears of the human heart are all still the same. And the Christian gospel holds the answer to all of these needs and all of these problems." And one of the greatest verses I could find to explain that is one that I've talked about this one before. They use it a lot in the Christian rap world, and it's Romans 1:16. They say 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Amen? And that salvation and that power is available to all of us when we have a relationship with Christ. Amen? So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being in our lives. And thank you all for being here today. Amen? I love you. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your mighty word, Lord, that brings salvation to all of our lives. We thank you for the relationship that we have with you because of the cross. Lord, we thank you for all the words in the Bible. That they are all we need, Father. That you're all we need. I ask that you bless this day, bless this time, and bless this country, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.